Is the song that we began looking at this morning, and using as a text for our lesson, along with Ecclesiastes chapter 1 through chapter 2. And as we began the lesson this morning, we looked in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there beginning in verse 12 and reading on down to chapter 2 and verse 11. Now he's going to have to readjust. We began looking at these things and seeing how as we read that Solomon began in his life to seek after everything that the world had to offer. He began to seek after all the follies of this world, all the wisdom of this world, all the pleasure that this world had to offer. And in all of these things, he noted that everything ended. At the end of his life, everything was in vain. Everything was just, as he says, striving after the wind. And as we looked in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of his life, as he's writing all these things and he's writing of all the pursuits that he's done and the architecture and everything, he says there in the end, in verse 13 of chapter 12, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And for God will bring every act to judgment, whether it be that which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so we can see that Solomon, in all of his wisdom, began to look and see that the acts of this world do not bring joy. The acts of this world do not truly bring the pleasure that we can have. And we began by looking at the song, number 468, Happiness is the Lord. And we've been using it as a kind of a guide as we continue through our study, looking at the phrases that are used there. And we looked at the first three there, looking at happiness is to know the Savior, that a life without Jesus would be truly a life not worth living, a life not knowing of anything greater, a life not looking at anything, any promise outside of what we have here upon this world, would truly be a miserable life. We also know that happiness not only is to know the Savior, but living a life within His favor, and this bringing about the change in our behavior that is necessary, changing away from the cares of this world and looking more according to the things that God would have us to do, really looking into His Word, allowing it to guide us in our life. We want to continue looking at these things as we go, and it's interesting with this song, the way it jumps around, and it can be a little confusing the first time you sing it, but you see that it jumps all the way back up to the beginning and goes back to verse 2, and he goes on and says that happiness is a new creation. And when we look at the things that we've been leading up to, having that change in our direction, obeying the gospel, living in a way that is pleasing to God, it brings about this new creation. It makes something new, something special about us. As we noted, Solomon spoke of our lives on earth as being just useless, meaningless experience when we cater solely to the desires of the flesh. He used the term vanity and grasping or striving for the wind repeatedly throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And speaking of all these things of the world, and that it was just vanity. You can just see time and time again after he would say, you know, I tried this, and he'd go, this too is vanity. And he'd go on and he'd say, I did this, and this too is vanity. And, you know, this is not, you know, if that was all that Solomon had, you'd think at the end of his life he'd be among the most miserable of all individuals. To think everything I've ever done has been useless. It's without any worth whatsoever. And it's not exactly a thought that would bring happiness into our lives. But, you know, what happens when we bring about that change in our life? What happens at the point of baptism, confession, repentance, truly believing in Jesus Christ? What makes that change? And that's what we need to understand, is that when we become this new creature, we leave behind the old man of sin. We leave behind all the cares of this world that lead to nothing but vanity, that lead to no happiness. And we have the ability to look on to something that does bring joy. Paul, in Romans chapter 6, there beginning in verse 4, speaks of this. He says there in verse 4, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And so when you look at this, if we're never buried with Christ in baptism, then if we're not in the likeness of His death, then we have no hope of resurrection. We have no hope of being in the likeness of the resurrection there with Christ and going on to being with God. And once again, that would bring nothing but sorrow, would it not? To think that no matter what we do in this life, there's nothing better, there's nothing greater, that everything we've done has just been in vain.
And Paul is here saying that, you know, if we obey the gospel, if we make this change in our life, if we walk in newness of life, not only have we been with Christ in His death, but we will be awaiting, we will have that resurrection there available to us as well. In Colossians chapter 3, there beginning in verse 9, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." And so once again, we're not walking in the old vanity of this life with no hope of anything after death. We have this newness of life that we walk in, and we have a great hope that is laid out before us. You know, instead of walking around going, "Well, what's the point?" As so many in the world walk around going, you know, "What's the point of life? Why are we here? Why are we living here as this new creature, as this creature that is created in the image of God, and we're walking along in the newness of life?" We have that wonderful hope. There's something bright there, and something that we can look forward to, and that's what this Mr. Stanhill is talking about, and that's really what Solomon, in all of the things he says, in everything in this world, there's no hope. It's useless. I mean, yes, we'll get some momentary pleasure, but in the end, it's all vanity. It's all striving after the wind. But for those who fear God and keep His commandments, they have a hope of eternal life with God. They have something greater there for them. And that should bring happiness into our lives. In serving the Lord, we shouldn't walk around sorrowful going, "I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't live in this way and I can't live in that way." We should walk around going, "I have a home in heaven. I've, as we said this morning, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. All the aches and pains that I'm suffering here on this earth, I've got something better. This earthly body that's going to deteriorate, that's slowly betraying me and treating me in a horrible way, I've got something better laid up on the other side." And so happiness is a new creation. Knowing that Jesus Christ has made us into something different, that we have something that so many in the world would love to have. And it should be something, as we said this morning, something that is easily seen. And this new creation that we become puts us in a close relationship with Jesus. That's why he says, "Jesus and me in close relation." You know, the closer we have in our relationships with individuals, it oftentimes brings happiness. The longer Ann and I are together, I don't understand some of these people that the longer we're together, the less we like each other. Now, Anna may feel differently about this. You'll have to talk to her about that. But the longer we're together, the more I like her. You know, I thought I liked her a lot when we first met and we first got married, but the longer we're together, the more time we spend together, the more long-suffering she is with me, the more I'm like, "Hey, this is somebody I don't want her to leave." I really enjoy her company. The same thing with Brooklyn and Austin. You know, the longer I'm with them, the more I get to know them, and the more I just can't get enough. But you know, no matter how much joy that relationship might bring, it's temporary, isn't it? It's not something I like to think about, but Anna could die. It's something I've been forced to think about in the past. When Austin was being born, the look on the doctor's eyes was not a comforting thought. And I had to think, what am I going to do if I lose her and lose this baby that I haven't even got to know? You see, all of these things, even though they bring joy, they can't really bring eternal joy, can they? All of that joy is but for a moment, and it's always accompanied with the sorrow that these things will pass away. That it will not last forever, and no amount of joy in this relationship can even begin to match the joy of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Anna can't remove my sins, can she? Austin and Brooklyn can live to the best of their ability, be the perfect little angels that God would desire for them to be, but that's not gonna take away my sins, is it? But you see, true joy is having a close relationship with Jesus. Note that phrase there, having a close relationship. You know, that's why a lot of couples, they grow apart, because they've never been close. They never strive for the closeness that should occur between a husband and wife. And that's why a lot of people who claim to be Christians, that wear the name Christian, they go to church, but they're miserable. Because they don't really know Jesus. Another one of my favorite songs, "Do You Know Jesus? Do You Know My Lord?" And really, do you know Jesus? Do you know what He's done for you? If we really know Jesus, and there's nothing in this world that can bring us true sorrow, is there? If we really know Jesus, and Jesus said, if you know me, you'll keep my commandments. But, you know, having this close relationship with Jesus is that which can bring true joy into our lives. And how do we get closer in our relationships? When you talk to married couples and they're having problems, what's usually the first thing that they begin to say? Well, we just don't talk to each other anymore, do we? And she's not the person I turn to anymore. We've grown apart because they're not talking to one another. That's why Anna and my relationship is constantly getting better, because we're opening up to one another more and more, and we're feeling more comfortable in talking to one another and explaining how we feel, and our relationship grows. And the same is true in our relationship with Jesus. We've got to speak with Him. We have that wonderful avenue of prayer that we can go to God, and we can talk to Him, and we can have that close relationship. We can tell Him how we feel, and that's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. You have that avenue. Take full advantage of it, folks. It's not just something to do before you sit down to eat. It's not just something to do before you lay your head down. It's when you're facing hard times, when you're facing good times. Thank you, Lord, for being with me in both. Talk to Jesus, and then don't let it be one-sided. It wouldn't do any good if I was the one doing all the talking and Anna never told me how she felt, would it? If I was always telling her, this is how I feel and this is how I feel, and I never sat down and listened to her, we wouldn't grow closer, would we? She would grow to resent me rather quickly. And that's why not only do we need to speak to Jesus, but we need to allow Him to speak to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, there beginning in verse 1, we read that God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Jesus is there talking to us, and we need to be willing to listen. And He's given us His Word. You go over to John chapter 14, there in verse 26, He made this promise to the apostles. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. They had these things. I mean, can you imagine trying to remember the Sermon on the Mount? Let's say that you were there and it's been given you as a task to write the Sermon on the Mount. Can you imagine sitting there trying to remember all those great and wonderful teachings? And if it was me, I might remember one of the Beatitudes. He said something about murder. He said something about divorce. But see, the apostles didn't have to worry about that. The Holy Spirit was going to bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had to say. And so let Him talk to you. Listen to Him. Don't just do all the talking. Let's sit back and do some listening every once in a while. And our relationship with Him can do nothing but grow. When we have that close relationship, it will bring true joy into our lives. And by having a close relationship with Jesus, we find that we are having a part in His salvation. You see, what we need to understand is that we must take part in His salvation. He's not going to just throw it at us, folks. I remember one of my favorite movies, Sergeant York. Those of you who are younger than me probably have never heard of it. But some of you who are older might remember Sergeant York and how he got salvation. He got saved. He'd been out in the night of drinking. He got struck and he got religion. And that old-time religion. Folks, that's not the way it happens. You don't get saved. God's not going to force His salvation upon anyone. We've got to take part. Without obedience to His commands, we cannot have the joy of our home in heaven. Without following through with what He has said. Well, what is salvation? Well, we can find that it is belief in Him. That He is Jesus the Christ. That He is the Son of God. We can see that it's repentance of our sins. You know, a lot of people, they go, well, those two, that's all you got to do. Well, that's like going to the Old Testament. We've been studying the book of Leviticus and going, well, I know He gives all these different offerings, but I'm only going to do this one. I know there's the guilt offering, and there's the peace offering, and there's the grain offering, and all these kind of things. But there's the one for the sins that I'm not aware of, and the one for the sins But I don't want to do all those. I'm going to just do one. Folks, that's what people are doing in the world today. And let me ask you a question. If they didn't fulfill these commands that God gave the Israelites, what was to happen to them? They were going to be cut off from their people. And that's what people want to do. Well, these are the only ones. No, true salvation is following. If you know me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not just the ones that are convenient, but you'll keep all of my commandments. It's also confession of our belief in Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism, becoming a part of His body. But you know, after being baptized and having received the promise of eternal life, we've got to remain faithful throughout our lives. We've got to continue to walk in that close relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to continue to be a part in His salvation. The song then goes on into a chorus of sorts there. He says, "Real joy is mine. No matter if teardrops start, I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart." You know, think about that for just a moment. The secret there is that real joy is having Jesus in our heart. Having Jesus as the first and foremost part of our lives. There's why so many who claim to be Christians are unhappy, because their job is the first thing in their life. And how many of you have ever found true joy in your work? How many of you get up in the morning and just can't wait to go to work and spend all day at work? You wouldn't rather be doing something else, right? I mean, not that we don't want to work, but there's a lot of other things that we'd rather do, isn't it? Dan, do you want to get up and sit there with the phone on your ear all day long? No, there's a lot of other things you'd probably like to do. I know there have been several jobs that I've had that it was just a chore to make myself get up and go. But yet people make the job that which is first and foremost, and they lose the joy. You see, real joy, as we said, no matter what this world throws at us, no matter if teardrops start, the secret is having Jesus in our heart. The reason Solomon was unable to find happiness in all the things that he did, and take the time to read the book of Ecclesiastes and look at all the buildings that he made and all the things that he gathered and all the various forms of wisdom that he tried to attain. And after every single thing, he says, "This too is vanity." Nathan just graduated from college. Can you imagine getting through college and going through all that he's gone through and just sitting back and go, "This has been in vain. This has been for nothing." And without Jesus, it is. Without something greater there in your life, it is in vain. You see, Solomon had failed to keep God first and foremost in his lives, and bringing in all these wives and all these concubines and building temples to their gods and going into those temples with their with his wives and taking part in that, he left God out and he lost the joy. And this follows, following the progression that he's been carrying, he continues his thought of having a part in his salvation, going on into the third verse, that happiness is to be forgiven. I want you to think for just a moment on everything you've ever done in your life that's sinful. If you're like me, it's going to take a lot more than a moment, ain't it? And you just think of just a few things and think, what if that hadn't been forgiven? It starts to bring immediate sorrow, doesn't it? To think, what if that's still there? What if that was hanging over my head? What if I knew that I was going to face the day of judgment with that there with me? You see, happiness is to know forgiveness. And what a sad state many in the world are in when they deny themselves the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And they go through life with all these things hanging over their heads. And they go, "I know there's something more out there, but I just don't know what to do." And they continue to deny the wonderful joy of being forgiven. I really can't think of a more dreary outlook on life than to know that to know what God wants of you and to continue not to do it. To know what He can do for you. To know what He has made available to you. Do you know the blood of Jesus Christ is there available? To know what He's asking of us and just go, "No, I'll take eternal damnation. I can't imagine anything worse." Knowing that at the end of our life, that it could end at any moment and that we're not saved. You see, happiness is to be forgiven. As I've said time and time again, there's no better feeling than rising up out of the watery grave of baptism, knowing that everything you've ever done before in your life that is displeasing in the sight of God, knowing it's gone. All the lies you told your parents, they're gone. Not saying that your parents are necessarily going to forget about them. But in God's eyes, they're gone. Anything that you've done in your life prior to baptism, if you've honestly believed in Jesus Christ and have confessed that and repented of those sins, in baptism, they're all washed away. There's no greater feeling, folks. But how many of us just instantly start to pile things back on? That's why Peter said that, you know, it's like the sow that's been cleaned. Where's that pig go as soon as it's been washed? Right back to wallowing in the mire. And that's the way we are a lot of times as Christians. And that's why we don't have this happiness. Because yes, we've gotten forgiveness, but we just run right back out there and we jump right back in and just keep on doing the same old things. You see, as we said in the beginning this morning, a lot of people don't really understand what true repentance is. But you see, happiness is to be forgiven. You can continue to have that great feeling every time you repent of your sins and know that God is willing and just to forgive us our sins. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But to walk around in life knowing that we're not in a right condition with God, that's a horrible thing. To know I should have and I could have, but I just refused it. You see, happiness is to be forgiven. And as he continues, he talks about living a life that's worth the living. Think about that for just a moment. You know, we follow in the steps of David. You know, David was called a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Was he without sin? No. Up there on the rooftop, there's that beautiful woman. Oh, she's married to so-and-so. We'll bring her on over. Hey, David, I'm pregnant. Well, let's get your husband bumped off. David, Nathan's here to see you. David, thou art the man. But he received forgiveness. Even with sin, he sought forgiveness. And he throughout his life, even though he continued to fail, he continued to mess up, he kept seeking to be forgiven. He kept trying to make his life right with God. Once again, how sad is it to not have anything to look forward to in life? To go through life not thinking, well, there's anything better. I can't think of anything worse than to be someone who believes in evolution and doesn't believe in God, that there's just nothing better. This is it. This is the best it gets. I love my wife. I love my kids, but there's nothing better. I love movies. I love music. You're going to tell me there's nothing better, that at the end of my life there's nothing else? How sad. Why bother? Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Can you imagine going to work all week? At the end of the week, knowing you're not going to get paid. You go and you put your 40 hours in that week, and you know, no, we're not going to pay you at the end of the week. Yes, we appreciate you coming into work, but we're not going to pay you. How many of you would stay? If they said, no, we're never going to pay you, you walk out, wouldn't you? Now, company loyalty, we might go, if they say, well, we're having some difficult times, we'll pay you in a couple of weeks, we might continue to go in and put in the work. But if they say, no, we're never going to pay you, well, I'm going to go find another job that will. And folks, that's life without God. That's life without Jesus. That's life without living a life that's worth the living. Living up according to the standards of this world, it's not worth it. Once again, read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon did everything. He truthfully has been there and done that. And he said, it's all vanity. It's all striving after the wind. You see, by living a life that looks to Jesus for salvation, we can know that there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness. We can know that there's something there waiting on us. We can know that God has something there laid up for us. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's begin there in verse 6. Let's go back a little bit. In verse 6, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Now let's remember, as we talked this morning, Paul had lived his entire life as a Christian knowing how it was going to end. Knowing all the things he was going to have to face, knowing all the sacrifices he was going to have to make. He says, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Think about that for just a moment. We read this morning As the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I know that He's able to keep that which I've given to Him against that day. He said, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Because I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If I just remain faithful, if I just keep up the good work, if I continue to do what God would have me to do, if I live the life, that's life that's worth living. This world is not a life worth living. This world is not a life worth anything. Because it's all vanity. It's all striving after the wind. Folks, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what if I were Paul? What if Jesus were to appear to you the night before you were to obey the gospel and He said, all right, look, if you obey the gospel, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to be in prison for years at a time. You're going to be followed everywhere you go. They're going to try to beat you. They're going to try to stone you. They're going to chase you. They're going to try every means. You're going to have 30 or more individuals that are going to swear that they'll not eat or drink until they put you to death. You're going to stand before kings. And you're going to die. And He says, it's worth it. Because there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I've entrusted it to the Lord, and no one can take these things away from me. His life was worth living because of what was waiting for him on the other side. He knew what was waiting for him, what the Lord would award to him on that day. And that brings us to the final thought in the song when Mr. Stanfield says, taking a trip that leads to heaven. I want everybody to look at me. Where are you going? This is a question for everybody. What is your final destination? You're on the road of life, and you know where you're going to end up. You see, happiness is knowing the Lord, living that life that's worth living, obtaining salvation of our sins, and taking the trip that leads to heaven. If you think of your final destination as, well, it's when I retire and I've got all this money set back and I can take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That sounds a lot like that farmer, doesn't it? Where he had that bumper crop and he said, oh, I've got everything I need. I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and there I'll stow my crops. And I'll say to my soul, catch how many times he's saying I and my? Whose soul is it? Is it his or is it God's? Who blessed him with those things? His own labors or God? And I'll say to my soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, if this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will these things be? You see, all the things that we do in this world, they're for naught. They're vanity. Striving after the wind. But taking a trip that leads to heaven. Looking toward the end. Having this final destination there. That is what's going to bring you happiness. It's like the song we sing sometimes. I'm camping toward Canaan's happy land. Every day I'm camping for the land of Canaan. I'm looking there for this. I've got something there. That crown of righteousness is laid up for me. That eternal home. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Here I labor and toil as I live here below. Just a humble servant among men. But I've got a mansion. There's a mansion now empty. Just waiting for me. Where's your final destination? Folks, we've got to live every day as if we were making our final journey toward heaven. We've got to live every day as if what we're doing right now is giving us eternal life or eternal sorrow. The question I want to ask you right now is, are you happy? We might think, well, you know, my team is doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm happy. No, I'm talking about, are you happy beyond that? Well, life's pretty good. I've got a job. It's paying the bills. And things are I'm happy. What about after that? Well, I'm paying into Social Security, and I have a firm belief in my government that it's still going to be in existence, he said with a smile upon his face.
I'm taken care of. I'm happy. What about after that? Eternally. Where are you going to be? If you're not happy, if thinking of eternity brings sorrow into your life, then it's a good indication of what's lacking in your life. You're missing out on the Lord. And what we need to ask ourselves is, am I putting the Lord's will first and foremost in everything that I do? Everything, folks. We can't leave Him out in anything. Am I putting Him first and foremost? If you're not, then you're going to reach a point like Solomon and everything is going to be vanity. Oh, my life, spending sorrow, just worthless. I've not gained any satisfaction out of anything I've ever done. Can you imagine someone who has accomplished the things such as Solomon? The beautiful buildings that he built, all the riches that he amassed, all the different animals. I mean, just read about the apes and the peacocks and all the things that he gathered together. And I mean, he had a zoo beyond any zoo that you, and it was all right there in his house. He had singers, minstrels, that just their job. I mean, it was an old-fashioned stereo, folks. I want you to sing this song. Okay, Mr. Solomon, King Solomon, that's what we'll do. And all these things, having the best that the world had to offer, having sought out every pleasure the world had to offer, he said, all these things are vanity. Do you want to be truly happy? If you do, then obey the Lord. Obey the Lord tonight. Don't delay. Don't put off till tomorrow what you know you need to be doing. If you need to obey through baptism, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you know that your sins have separated you from God, then make the correction. Don't spend another moment in the sorrows of this world. Give your life to Jesus. Arise up from that watery grave of baptism, knowing that your sins have been removed, every single one of them. And knowing that Jesus just signed the deed for your mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land where we'll never grow old. Knowing that you have hope. Because right now you're without it. Perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained faithful. You've not continued to live the life that's truly worth living. And life seems dark and dreary. And you ask yourself, where am I going to be eternally? And you think, I don't like the answer to that. Return to the Lord. Jesus loves me. This I know. He loves you. He loves you so much that He came and He died the worst death mankind could create. He faced the humiliation that God should not have to face. He made Himself lower than the angels so that He could be that perfect sacrifice, so that the things that I have done, folks, the things that I have done can be forgiven. Do you want to be happy? Obey the Lord. Whatever it might be, make your life right with God this night as we stand and as we sing.